beautifully, beautifully, beautifully done. Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Matthew chapter 24. I remind all the deacons I need to meet with you at 6:10 tonight in preparation for the Lord's Supper, in our evening service. I encourage you to be back in the house of God as we observe the Lord's Supper together. Always a special time here. And I encourage you to be back in the house of God at 6:30. And all the deacons, be right in your place at 6:10, please, in the blue room in preparation for that tonight. 6:10 tonight. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to begin my reading in verse number 15. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or lo, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, there's a phrase that's used in verses 19 and 22. It's used three different times. It's the phrase, two words, that simply says, those days. And this morning I want to preach to you on this subject of those days. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, would you bless today? Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your guidance. And I pray that if there's anything in my heart that's hindering you, forgive me. Remove it and get it out of my life. And may there be nothing to hinder the Holy Spirit of God today. I pray that you speak to us in a clear voice. And may your will be done in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come to verse number 15 of this text. It's right in the middle of the sermon that's known as the Olivet Discourse. And as I was studying these verses, these two words that summarize this passage comes out in our text. It's the two words, those days. Now, in order for us to understand what's being spoke about, we need to identify what those days are in reference to. Now, when you come to this passage of Scripture, the disciples have just asked the Lord a threefold question in which they ask, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming, talking to the Lord? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? They have just asked those three questions. And it's this threefold question the Lord is answering throughout the Olivet Discourse. Now let me say loud and clear from the outset that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth again. He is coming back visibly, and he's coming back literally. What a glorious day that is going to be. But before he comes back to put his feet upon the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a terrible 7-year tribulation period that takes place upon this earth to punish the Gentile nations and to purge the nation of Israel. Now, it's this time of tribulation. I'm talking about the time, the 7-year tribulation, After the rapture of the church, where the Lord comes back in the clouds as a thief, every eye will not see him then. Every eye will not know it's him then. He's coming back in the clouds as a thief. He's gonna rapture the church out of here. If you're saved, that's when you're going. Somebody say amen. But after the rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation begins. After the seven-year tribulation, King Jesus coming back to this earth where every eye will see him, he'll put his feet on the Mount of Olives, it will be torn in two. Now, what we're talking about in our text this morning is the seven-year tribulation. Are you with me so far? Those days that this passage is talking about are the days of the tribulation period. Now, folks, before we get to the text concerning the days of the tribulation, let's consider the order of future events that we can expect. Now, this is just introduction. First of all, I've already said it. This is introduction now. First of all, the next thing on God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church. We see this in First Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This event can occur at any moment. Because I remind you that the signs of the times, the signs of the end of the world, are not the signs of the coming rapture. They are the signs of the coming revelation of Jesus Christ. Which means this, these signs are everywhere already. Talking about earthquakes in diverse places. Talking about famines and all these. Listen, everything is lining up according to exactly how the Word of God says it's going to line up. And may I tell you this, that when these things start lining up, the Bible says, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh, because those things point to the revelation, which means this, we're at least 7 years sooner to the rapture of the local church. I'm talking about the church, the body of Jesus Christ. It can come at any moment. When that takes place, Antichrist will make a 7-year agreement with the nation of Israel. This is Daniel chapter 9. After 3.5 years, he breaks his covenant. That's also Daniel chapter 9. Then he moves to Jerusalem and he sets up his own image in the temple. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13. By the way, I'm going somewhere with all of this. Just stay with me. The Antichrist begins to control the world, and he forces all the people on earth to worship and obey him. And at this time, God sends great tribulation upon the earth. That's the last 3.5 years of the 7-year period, Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Eventually, the nations gather at a place called Armageddon. And they see the sign of Jesus Christ coming, and they unite forces against him in Zechariah chapter 12, Revelation 13, Revelation 19. They will all gather forces against King Jesus. Jesus returns to the earth. He defeats his enemies. He is received by the Jews. He establishes his kingdom on earth, where he will rule and reign literally for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. All I'm saying to you, I'm starting to get excited already. We are on the winning side if you know Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, the rapture will take place before the tribulation period, in which the Lord Jesus comes in the air for the church. But at the end of the tribulation, he will come back to the earth with the church to rule and reign. Thank God that we who are born again will not have to go through those days that are mentioned here in Matthew chapter 24. But it would do us well to understand those days, to motivate us to do more for Jesus Christ. Now, there are three things I want to give you this morning about those days. The days of the tribulation period. Right in this text, number one. First of all, we see the calamity of those days. The calamity of those days. This is found in verses 15 to 22. The Lord told these people, and he tells us who read, that when the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stands in the holy place, Jesus said you need to beware. Now, in order for us to understand this, you need to understand what Daniel the prophet said. Now, I'm not going to turn to it, By the way, this is being recorded. You can have my type notes if you want them. Just request them. If you don't turn, just for time's sake, I'm just going to mention it. If you go to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and then Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and then Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. When you read all of that, Daniel says that there are 70 weeks. And if you know anything about prophecy, those weeks are years, which equals 490 years. There are 490 years, 70 weeks, that are determined against the people of Israel. The nation of Israel is the elect that you read of here in Matthew chapter 24. Now, the Bible teaches us in the book of Daniel that from the commandment to rebuild the walls to the cutting off of Messiah would be a total of 69 weeks. That's 483 years. Hence, there's 7 years that's still left to deal with the nation of Israel. This leaves 1 week yet to be fulfilled, which is what the Lord Jesus is dealing with here in our text. That week of 7 years is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's known as the tribulation period. The church age in which we live now, we are living in between the fulfillment of the 69th week. That's our 69 weeks have literally been fulfilled. Look here, please, which means the 70th week will literally be fulfilled. 69 weeks have literally been fulfilled, and in between the 69th and the 70th week, which is those days, the 7-year tribulation, the church age is taking place. Now, when the rapture takes place and the Holy Spirit is taken out of here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist will come on the scene. And he will make a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. But in the middle of the tribulation period, he will set up an image in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, at which time he will declare himself to be God. And he will demand to be worshipped. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13. He will break his covenant with Israel, and he will turn his fierce wrath against the Israelites. Now, during that time, the Lord tells the Jews in our text, he said, run into the mountains for your lives. He shows concern for those who are expecting child because of how hard it will be for those expectant mothers to flee for their lives. He tells them to pray that their flight will not be in the winter on the Sabbath day, which they religiously keep, in which their laws require that they must not travel over 2,000 paces on the Sabbath day. Now, even though the nation of Israel will be miraculously protected, this is Revelation chapter 12, we know the most dramatic and terrible end time events for Israel will be the coming of Antichrist, the great tribulation, and the battle of Armageddon. Now, folks, stay with me here. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me now. Don't lose me in all the details. It'll all make sense at the end. Stay with me. This awful time of 7-year tribulation, Jacob's trouble, the 70th week, those days, it's all the same event. This awful time is associated right here with the Great Tribulation, or the ending 3.5 years of the tribulation spoken of in the book of Revelation. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation period. This is not everything. This is just a taste. Are you ready? Here it is. Revelation 8, verse 7, 1/3 of the green vegetation on the face of the earth will be destroyed. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. 1/3 of the oceans will become blood, and 1/3 of the life in the sea will be destroyed. 1/3 of the world's ships will be demolished. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. 1/3 of the waters become contaminated, and many will die as a result. Revelation 8, verse 12, 1/3 of the part of the sun, of the moon, and of the stars are completely darkened. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. An angel flies through the midst of heaven and pronounces woe due to the further trumpets that are going to sound. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. The earth is invaded by an army of demons from the bottomless pit who have power to torment men for 5 months in which they will want to die, but they cannot. Did you hear what I just said? For 5 months, with these demons tormenting them, for 5 months they will want to die, but they can't. That's what the Bible teaches. They may try to kill themselves. It won't work. Because the wrath of God is coming upon the planet Earth. And it will not matter if they try to kill themselves or not. They will not. Death flees from them, the Bible says, for 5 months. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 21, you put it all together. An army numbering 200 million invades the earth and kills 1/3 of the earth's population, and yet the earth still does not repent. They still don't turn to Christ. Now, folks, all we're looking at is the calamity of these days. It's going to be terrible. These things that I just mentioned, it doesn't even include the vials that come in Revelation chapter 16. What about the red horse of war, the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of death that's going to ride during those days? My friends, these years of great tribulation, truly the world has never seen before. It's going to be absolutely horrific. It is estimated at the end of the tribulation that over 1/2 of the world's population will be killed. 1/2. The Lord said this in our text, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now that word saved, not talking about Bible salvation, it's talking about your life being saved from death. He's saying unless those days are shortened, nobody would survive it. The presence of his elect people, the nation of Israel, on earth during the tribulation will cause those days to be shortened. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? The ungodly owe to the godly more than they know or would care to know. First point today, aren't you glad you came this morning to hear all this bad news? First point today, the calamity of those days. I'm talking about the days of the tribulation period. I'm talking about the days that if Jesus came back right now, the trumpet sounded, and he took the church out of here, if you're left behind, you will go through those days. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a preacher who wouldn't look his church right, not his church, but the church he passes and preach the truth like I just preached to you just now. I wouldn't give a wooden nickel for him. Amen. Here's what I'm saying to you. I don't want anybody that comes to Buffalo Ridge to end up in a devil's hell and have to go through these days right here. It's time we stop playing games, my friends. It's times we understand that these days are terrible days. Calamity. I mean, calamity everywhere. You don't want to be here. I'll guarantee it. And I'll guarantee you this. If I'm talking to somebody right now, you know in your heart you're lost. You know in your heart that if Jesus came right now, you don't know if you'd go or not. You're concerned right now that you'd be left behind. You're crazy to walk out of this auditorium and not make sure before you leave today. Amen. I'm telling you, calamity of those days. Number two, we see the caution of those days. This is found in verses 23 to 26. During this time of great tribulation, in which the believing Jews will flee for their lives from the wrath of the Antichrist, the Lord gives them a word of caution. He tells them, and here's what he says, if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ or there, believe it not. He goes on to tell them that there's going to be false Christs that arise and false prophets. They're going to show great signs and wonders to deceive the people. He then tells them again, if they hear that he's come in the desert or in a secret chamber, don't you believe it. See, what he's doing is this. He's telling the believing Jews, by the way, there will be thousands saved during the tribulation period. But it will not be anybody here this morning. Amen.
Because the Word of God plainly teaches that if you've heard the gospel and you reject the gospel, you will believe the lie of Antichrist. But there be thousands, I don't know how many, maybe millions, I don't know, that have never heard the gospel and they will turn to Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Some of these Jews that believe, will flee for their life. They're going into hiding. Can I put it that way? So what do you think the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to try to coax them out of hiding. Hey, we found your Messiah. He's over here. Hoping they'll believe it and come out of hiding. So he's cautioning them and saying, listen, when they tell you they found me, don't you believe it. Because he goes on to say, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What's he saying? He's saying, nobody's going to have to tell you when I come. Amen. Because everybody's going to know when I come. And he's cautioning them, don't you believe it when they tell you that they found me. Don't you believe it. I'm cautioning you here. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kin to the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know, even though this is a caution for the tribulation, we can still learn a great principle here. Don't be deceived by false Christ and false prophets. There are people today, I mean today, in which we live in the recent years, who claim I'm Christ, and they always have a following. Have you noticed that? They always have a following. A religious fanatic was speaking to a group on a street corner. He wore a long white robe and a long beard. He declared, I am Christ, that had come back upon the earth again. A Christian man came up to him and said, let me see your hands. So he showed him his hands. He said, you're not the Christ. You don't have any nail prints in your hands. Amen. The one who's to come is the one who died for us. The one who rose from the dead. The one who lives on high. He is coming again. And heed the caution here. Yes, it's for the tribulation period. Yes, it's for the Israelite. I get all of that. But heed the same caution. Don't trip up over something that's false. Number one, the calamity of those days is going to be terrible. The caution of those days, don't you believe it when they say that they found me? Everybody's going to know it. And number three, the coming in those days. We see this in verses 27 to 31. This is the point we've really been traveling toward. The great tribulation is going to be absolutely horrendous. But for those who will be saved in the tribulation, King Jesus will come. And he will come with his saints. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Revelation 19, 14, and others to deliver. He says that his coming will be as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even in the west. And let me give you three things that's associated with his coming here. First of all, there's going to be a great slaughter. We see this in verse number 28. This verse seems, and I agree, to be in reference to the battle of Armageddon. The Bible teaches this in the book of Revelation. There's a battle that's going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. I'm talking about when he comes back with his saints after the seven-year tribulation to set up his millennial kingdom. You know, there's a place the Bible calls Armageddon, Revelation 16, 16, in which the armies of the world will unite in their effort to destroy the Lord of glory. Napoleon Bonaparte, by the way, you think he might have known something about warfare? Absolutely. Napoleon Bonaparte, here's what he said concerning that particular piece of land that the Bible calls Armageddon. Here's what he said, and I quote, he said, it is the most perfect battlefield in the world. Napoleon said that. I could have told him that. Because that's what Jesus said, basically. The armies of the nations will turn their united efforts to destroy the Lord, but the Lord will destroy them with the sword that comes out of his mouth, so much so that the blood will flow to the horses' bridles. You say, Jody, how deep's the blood going to flow to the horses' bridles? You say, you believe it? Yes. Literally? Yes. All I know is this, we're coming back with him. We don't have to fight. All these armies are going to gather against him. All these military strategists, geniuses are going to unite together and say, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him. All he does is speak a word. They're gone. You may tell you who that is? That's your Savior if he lives inside of you. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It's going to be a great slaughter one of these days. The Bible says he's going to call the birds to their great feast of the flesh of kings, to the flesh of captains, to the flesh of mighty men, and to the flesh of horses. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. He will defeat total military power with the word of his mouth. Are you listening to me? If you go through the tribulation and the plagues do not kill you, your blood will flow at the great supper of Almighty God. It'll flow at Armageddon. Understand this, my friends. Let me ask you a question. There are two suppers, the marriage supper of the Lamb and the great supper of the great God right here in the battle of Armageddon. Which one are you going to choose to be part of? I don't know about you. I've already got my ticket punched to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because I don't want to be supper one of these days. Amen. Now, folks, I'm going to say, look here, please. That's a powerful thought right there. You will either choose to sit down at supper with Jesus, or you will choose to be supper for the birds. I know I don't look very happy today. I'm happy in my soul, but I am burdened for a lost world. And I am burdened for people who may come to this church week after week, teenagers, children, maybe, I don't know. I hope all of you are saved. But folks, it's not worth guessing. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. That's not your pastor. You know that by now. But I am going to look you right in the eyeballs and say nothing will do but the new birth. You must be born again. And if you've never trusted Christ, you ought to run down this aisle and say yes to Jesus. Because, folks, this is going to take place. There's a coming. It's Jesus. When he comes, there's going to be a great slaughter. Number two, there's going to be a great shaking. This is found in verses 29 and 30. These verses tell us that when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to shake the powers of heaven. The stars will fall from their sockets, and the sun and moon will not give their light. There'll be no need for the sun because the Lord has come. The tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see King Jesus coming in the clouds with power and great glory. His feet will rest on the Mount of Olives, causing it to split in two, and he'll set up his kingdom, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 through 9. As one man said, then it'll be too late. The truth will dawn on all the branded dupes of the devil. They will admit to each other, the Bible which we have despised was right all the time. The prophecies were not allegories, but literal actualities. The one whose peerless name we have customarily used as a curse word is the eternal, uncreated Son of the living God. Here he is coming back, as he said, not as a carpenter, but as a conqueror, not with his glory veiled, but with that glory dimming the brightness of the noonday sun. There's going to be a great slaughter, a great shaking, and then a great sound in verse number 31. When King Jesus comes back to this earth, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, the Bible says, to gather the Jews, his elect, the Jews, from one end of heaven to the other, back to the land of Israel, just like the Bible prophesies in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 23, and Ezekiel chapter 36. When this happens, they will see the Lord Jesus, and they will be converted, right here in Romans 11, 26 and 27. Warren Wiersbe put it this way: Jesus will return at the hour when Israel is about to be defeated by the Gentile army, Zechariah 12. He will rescue his people and they will see him and recognize that he is their Messiah, Zechariah chapter 12 verses 9 to 14. There will be a national repentance, national cleansing, national restoration under the gracious leadership of their Messiah. Folks, we've looked at three things. The calamity of those days is going to be terrible. The caution of those days, stay in hiding, Jews. Don't come out when they say they have found me. And there's going to be a coming. I am coming, Jesus says. And when I come, there's going to be a great slaughter. I'm going to kill every one of them. I'm going to shake the powers of heaven. And I'm going to cause a sound from one of my angels to go gather the elect
into my bosom. Now, folks, when you think about this message, can I give you the application now? May I apply this to us? Let me give you several things. Number one, in other words, what can you take home from this service? What can you take home from this message? Number one, if you are not a child of God, you are in danger of going through this horrible time if the Lord would come back today. I wonder if the trumpet sounded and the rapture took place and every Christian left. They're gone. Boom, gone. Would you still be sitting in this congregation? If you say, I don't know, or yes, I think I would, why don't you make this the greatest day that you've ever breathed there and say yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Number two, if you are saved, you think about a message like this, a 7-year trip, terrible calamity and blood flowing to the bridles of the horses, and I mean the plagues and the woes and the pale horse and the dark horse and everything riding in it, awful times. If you're saved, we ought to pause for just a moment and say, thank God for your amazing grace that has delivered me from that time. I'm not looking ahead to those days. I'm not going to be here for those days. Somebody say amen there, please. I mean, doesn't that excite you a little bit? Thank God. Don't you feel sorry for people who think we're going through the tribulation, preacher? There are some of God's children who think that the tribulation, we're going through it. I'm so glad the Bible does not teach that. I'm so glad we're out of here before that ever takes place. We ought to thank God for His amazing grace. Number three, if you're saved, should this not motivate us to get the gospel to as many people as we can in as short a time as we can? Sure. And number four, if you're saved, I know times get hard. I know times get rough. But if you're truly saved, you are on the winning side. I remember finding a story. This has been several years ago now, and it goes something similar to this. There was a little boy. He was reading a book. It was close to bedtime, and this book was about a villain who was having his way seemingly throughout a lot of the book. When he was reading it, and the villain was laughing, he was just laughing a lot. He was having his own way, the bad guy, the villain, all this kind of stuff. His mother called out to him and said, "It's bedtime, it's bedtime." And the boy decided real quick, because he knew he needed to obey mama, so he decided real quick to turn to the back of the book and read some of the last pages. And when he got to the last pages, he found out that the villain lost, the good guy won, and the villain was no longer laughing like he was in the place where he was reading at that time. And just before he went to bed, the little boy said, and I quote, he's like he's talking to the villain who right here in the book, his things were going just according to plan. He was laughing, all this kind of stuff. And the boy went back, and it's like he was talking to the villain and said, if you only knew how the story ends, you wouldn't be laughing so much. You know, today, the devil has got to be laughing. With everything going on, even in Christian lives, the devil's got to be laughing. Let's be honest, doesn't it seem like he's winning? That's not a trick question. Be honest, doesn't it seem like he's winning? Sure. Sure it does. But I've got news. I've read the back of the book. And I know how it all turns out. And I know the good God of heaven wins the battle. And if you're saved, you're on the winning side. Thank God that He has delivered us who are saved from those days. Amen or not this morning? And if He's delivered you, He wants to deliver others. Get them the gospel. And rejoice in your heart that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, you will already be in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's enough to say amen to there, friends. I'm telling you. Amen. And may the Lord add His blessing to this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would You bless the service? Bless the invitation. And Lord, would You help eternal business to be done? Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I appreciate you being so sensitive today and alert today. Thank you for listening so well. I'm going to ask you during this invitation time to try to be as still as you possibly can, because I really do believe that the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with somebody. And we don't want any distractions, anything to take away from that precious time. I'd like to turn the piano down, and then I'd like them to begin to play very softly. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you know without a doubt? Now please, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. God knows. As they begin to play through softly, do you know without a doubt that you're not going to be here for those days? Here's what I'm asking. Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? No playing games. You know without a doubt that you are going, if Jesus came back today and raptured the church, you know you would not be here. You would be taken to heaven. You know it. You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You know you're saved. By the way, if you got your hand raised, you can put it down, but isn't it something in your heart just saying, glory to God? Glory to God. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You ought to, in your heart right now, be worshiping the Lord, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for delivering me from those days. Now, some of you could not raise your hand to that question. I want to thank you for being honest. And I want you to know I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't call you out. I wouldn't do anything like that for anything in the world. But if you're here today and say, Jody, I'm being honest, I couldn't raise my hand to that. But I'll tell you this, I sure wish the next time somebody asked that, I can. I cannot raise it, but I sure do wish I could. Is there somebody like that? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But I would like to know how to pray. Is there somebody, say, pray for me? I believe I need to truly be saved, truly be converted. I don't want to be here for those days. I want to be delivered. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. Yes, thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, pray. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Somebody else, maybe in the balcony down below, you say, pray for me. I'm just not sure. It could be you're just doubting. And folks, I hope I've not caused anybody to doubt. But, you know, if causing doubt leads to assurance, I'm all for it. Now, in just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. You may be sitting in the middle of the pew, but I guarantee you this, the folks that are sitting beside you would be privileged to either come with you or to step out of the way so you can come. I promise you that if you come, you'll be glad you did. If you stay and you don't come, you're fooling with your soul. You're gambling with your soul. It's not worth it. See, there was a day when all of us who could raise our hand couldn't. But now we can, because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Please, do the right thing. Let us help you. Please. In just a moment, we'll invite you to come. Have you saved and know it, but you know somebody who's lost. Would you raise your hand? You know somebody who's lost? If you raise your hand, I want you to lower it and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Because you're not looking at me for you. You're looking at me for somebody else. If the gospel does not get to them and they do not say yes, and the Lord comes back, they're going to go through these days. And may I say this to you? If the Lord doesn't come back before they die, it's going to be terrible, friends. It's just going to be awful. I'm so burdened for a lost and dying world. We've got to do something. Something more. A message like this should encourage you, if nothing else, to give the gospel again. Give it to them again. Won't you beg God before you give it to them to break your heart? To give you tears. They can argue with just about anything, but they can't argue with your broken heart. Maybe some of you need to come and say, God, break my heart. Make this so real that I can't get over it. This is it. I'm with Brother Daniel just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. If you need to be saved, you raised your hand. Wait on me just a moment. She's playing. If you raised your hand because you need to be saved, now's your time. Please. If you want to come and bring that lost one to the altar, or maybe you just want to come and get on your face and say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm on the winning side. I want to thank you that you've shown me so much grace that I'm not going through those days. Whatever God's using it for. As Brother Daniel sings, would you come? Come now, please. I need some soul winners, please, to be ready here.
Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest.
You need to be saved. Come on.
And hope His
let us help you.
And
let us
that
help.
He'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn. The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus.
There's time for you.
The grain is fallen.
Come on. I know the Lord is, I know He's working. But He will not force Himself. Come on.
Today
do the right thing.
Reap,
let us help you.
You'll
be glad you did.
You'll
be glad you did.
Harvest.
May the Lord
today
help you.
Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I might even sing one more verse in just a moment. If nobody else comes, we'll be done. But this next verse is for you. If you're standing there right now, you say, boy, I tell you, if you just do one more verse, I'll go. Here it is. This is for you. Do the right thing. Let us help you. Let us help you. This is it. You move now. Go ahead and sing with it, Daniel.
The harvest white,
this is it. Come on.
With reapers few is wasting.
Take the first step. The second one's a little easier.
Will
the next one's a little easier.
And never know.
And let us help you.
The love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. us our souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
You can look this way. This is Michael and Sarah Cannon. And they, precious couple, I tell you, coming back home. We're glad you're coming back home, no doubt about that. And they believe it's the Lord's will for them to unite with us in our membership and fellowship here. They both know the Lord personally as their Savior. They've been scripturally baptized in a church of like faith. And they want to join our church by letter from the Victory Baptist Church in Bristol. Great church, great pastor. And they feel it's the Lord's will for them to move their membership here. And they've read the bylaws, signed here saying they agree to them. We're honored, absolutely honored. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them into our membership? If somebody will do this, Brother Joe, Brother Charlie Moore seconds. All members in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry, it's official. Now you know the next order of business, right? A dozen Krispy Kreme donuts to the pastor. All of that, I'm just kidding with you. We're so happy to have you here. God bless you. Are you happy about this? Say amen. Let me encourage you with this. I'd like to ask you to stay there. Our folks who want to come by and greet you. We've got a special gift for you, Miss Judy, if you'll help them with that. There are some folks today that you do not know for sure that heaven's your home. I know it's the case because I sense it in my heart. Let me do it this way. I'm going to be out in the parking lot. Don't run over me now, okay? But I'm going to be out in the parking lot. And if you need help in this, come find me. If you're a lady, I'll find a lady to help you. If you're a man, I'll help you myself, or get another man if we have more than one. Please don't leave this service without knowing Jesus. If you're saved and you agree with that, would you say amen?
Amen.
We're for you, okay? Brother Daniel, if you'll come right here and dismiss us in prayer, all deacons at 6:10 tonight, we're observing the Lord's Supper. It'll be a special time. Thank you for coming today. God bless you.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for coming to this earth, for dying for us on the cross, so that we might escape those days, so that we might have a relationship with you today. And God, I pray for those who are in this room that do not know for sure that they would spend eternity with you in heaven. I pray that you would speak to their hearts, and I pray that they would speak to Pastor on their way out the door today, and that they would make that sure. And I pray for all of us as a church that we would be about the business of souls. Lord, the world needs to know what is coming. And they need to know that you've come and that you've made a way for them to be made right with you. And so, Father, I pray you'd guide us, use us this afternoon, bring us back safely together tonight, and use us this week to spread the glorious message of Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.